In a time when life seems very chaotic, this story from Matthew's gospel really soothes the soul. The disciples are out in a boat, and it says that they're getting tossed about by the waves. And keep in mind as you listen to this that one of the early nicknames that the early Christians had for the church was the bark of Peter, all right, the boat of Peter. So this image of the apostles trying to set sail and stave the course amidst turbulent and chaotic circumstances is very common. That's the way it always has been, and it's the way it is now, and it's the way it always will be. Right? And yes, there are many examples of chaos. Right? Some days we feel like the coronavirus is very serious and we're very comfortable with the restrictions. But then other days we see different news stories and it seems as though worry over the virus is overblown and these restrictions are really holding us back. All right, we kind of bounce back and forth. Also, there's a lot of political division right now. All right, and some days we might feel like we favor one side of the division, and another day we might favor a different side or no sides at all. Of course, none of that is to even mention the chaos that's just part of life. Perhaps a chaotic workplace, a chaotic marriage, a chaotic relationship with your children or your family. All right? And sometimes, of course, even the very thoughts in our own heads are chaotic. One moment we feel great about ourselves and great about the world we live in, and then in a matter of minutes we can completely change, feeling despairing over our circumstances or over ourselves, becoming depressed or anxious. All right? Right now, as I mentioned before Mass began, many families in our community are struggling with the chaos of what school is going to look like, including families in our own parish school. All right? And keep in mind also that as the disciples are in this boat dealing with their own chaotic experience here, it was the fourth watch of the night. All right? The disciples were tired. They were exhausted. Perhaps they wanted to just, you know, let things take its course, even if it meant a shipwreck. And certainly sometimes we feel that way with the chaos in our lives as well. Sometimes we just want to give up, throw in the towel, and let the chaos win, let it overtake us, even if it means that we get a bit shipwrecked. And so this story of Jesus calmly walking on the water towards his disciples is very comforting. Jesus really wasn't affected by the turbulent seas or the strong winds. And similarly, Jesus is not fazed by any of the chaos that we're dealing with here on earth. And of course, the best part of the story is that faith also lets us calmly walk above the chaos as well. In the reading, Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come out to you on the water." Jesus says, "Come." Peter gets out of the boat and starts walking on the water towards Jesus. But then what happens? The wind picks up. He becomes distracted by all the chaos. He becomes frightened by it. And he starts to sink into the chaos itself. Now, you've heard many homilies on this gospel over the years, and you know that the message is always, keep your eyes on Jesus. All right? In other words, keep your attention on Jesus. Even in the midst of chaos, keep your eyes on the Lord. So, how do we do that? Well, the first and perhaps most obvious thing to note is that if we're going to look at Jesus, we have to take our eyes off of the chaos that surrounds us. All right? If our attention is going to be on the Lord, our attention cannot be on all of the craziness that we're experiencing. All right? The chaos on the news, the chaos on social media, wherever it is, the chaos is not Jesus. And you know, people have this weird fear that if they don't pay attention, that they're going to be uninformed and something terrible is going to happen that they're not ready for. It's going to knock them over, so to speak. But that's kind of like Peter, right? Peter, he's sort of afraid that a wave is going to overtake him. Something's going to knock him over. And so he's kind of afraid of being uninformed of that. So he starts looking around all over, except, of course, at Jesus himself. So Peter, again, he starts looking at the chaos and he starts to sink. He starts to sink into the chaos. And again, the chaos is not Jesus. Do not look at the chaos. Now, I know that the chaos is fascinating. I know that trying to figure out what's going on with the coronavirus is fascinating. And looking at our political situation and the division and the rioting is morbidly fascinating. I know it's difficult to take your eyes off of it, but the chaos is not Jesus. Now, of course, just because we take our eyes off the chaos does not mean that they're automatically on the Lord. If you simply take your eyes off of the chaos, then, yeah, something might happen. Something bad might happen. So that doesn't mean that our eyes are automatically on the Lord. Keeping our eyes on the Lord and our attention on the Lord requires frequent and consistent prayer. Now, considering these times we live in, we need to step it up. That's as plain and simple as I can be. We need to step it up. And if you're actually watching, taking time out of your afternoon to watch a live stream mass, and we're not the ones who are going to step it up and start praying, then who is? All right? And if we don't step up our game here and dedicate ourselves all the more to prayer, then we're just going to sink into the chaos and become just as angry and upset and pessimistic as anyone else. Now, I don't want to overcomplicate things here. Prayer is raising our hearts and minds to God. All right, that's what the Catechism says prayer is. And all of our devotions in the church are really about helping us do that. All right, whether it's the Rosary or the Divine Mercy Chaplet or Lectio Divina or devotions to the Sacred Heart, novenas, whatever it is, that's what these devotions are doing. They're helping us raise our minds and heart to God. Now, of course, learning to pray these devotions or learning to simply ponder the great mysteries of our faith, that can be intimidating to a lot of people. But like so many things in life, you learn to do it by actually doing it. You learn to pray by praying, right? You learn to play an instrument by playing an instrument. You learn to cook by cooking. You learn to play a sport by actually playing the sport. All right, same thing with prayer. You learn to pray by praying. And it might feel awkward at first. You might not be sure if you're doing it right. And maybe you are making some mistakes. But guess what? You have to go through making those mistakes in order to get it right. So don't let the fear of making mistakes stop you from trying to pray. It's very hard to make mistakes in prayer, by the way. But what's important is that we do it. And it's important that we pray consistently. Again, right now is a time for prayer. If now is not the right time for prayer, then when is the right time for prayer? If now is not the right time to dedicate ourselves all the more to praying, then when is it? There are so many things to pray for, and prayer helps us stay above the chaos. Prayer is really the only solution we have. And I'm going to tell you, you need to do it. You need to do it. But I'm not going to say that and just let you fend for yourself here. I want to help you. Now, some people in our parish, very, very gifted in their life of prayer. All right, you might have a prayer life in order and you're good. But if you don't feel like you have a very good prayer life right now, I want to encourage you to call the office. Make an appointment with me for about 30 minutes. We can meet face-to-face, with COVID restrictions, of course, or we can meet on the phone, we can meet on Zoom. All right, I don't care about the platform, but if you're not praying well, I want to help you. And again, I want to be clear, all right? This could be my last year at St. Rose. Yeah, I might get another 6 years. It's certainly possible. But this could be my last year. And if I leave here and you don't feel confident in your prayer life after 8 years of me being here, I've failed. And I failed spectacularly. All right? Don't let me fail. I don't want to look back on 8 years at St. Rose and 6 years at St. Mary's in Kelso, and 8 years, of course, at Cathlamet, and say, I spent 8 years here, and the people didn't know how to pray when I left. All right? Don't let me fail. Don't let me or anyone else look back on these last 8 years and consider it a waste. However, I also want to acknowledge that there are many people in this parish who are perhaps, certainly, more spiritually gifted than I am. All right? And you know who some of them are. There are some very holy men and women in our local parishes. There really are. If there's somebody you admire in the church who strikes you as being holy, someone who seems to live above the chaos of life, ask them how they pray. Ask them to teach you. Ask them how to pray. It could even be a parent or a relative or a friend or even just an acquaintance. Ask them how they pray and just try to do what they do. Again, it might feel awkward at first, but you'll figure it out, because prayer is what the world needs right now. Again, if we're not praying, then we're just going to sink into the chaos. We're going to feel battered around and tossed about by all the chaos going on around us. But prayer has saved the world before. Prayer can help us out now, and prayer will save the world again in the future. Prayer will keep us above the chaos. And when we're above the chaos, then just like the Lord in the gospel, we can actually reach down and grab those by the hand who are sinking and actually rescue them from the despair and chaos that life throws at us.